offers, we are making the change even easier. Visit johnkennedymotors.ie. Toyota, built for a better world.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. Ronan Quirk with you and delighted to be with you. Our text number is 083 311 3311. You can also get us on the Tip FM Facebook page and we can also speak to us via Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at Tip FM Sport. That text number again, 083 311 3311. Apologies in advance, I have a bit of a slight head cold, so if my voice goes a bit wobbly in the course of the next 50 minutes or so, you might give me some consideration of that, but we'll persevere and we'll go on. But I'm going to get the man sitting next to me to do most of the talking over the course of the next few minutes, and that's outgoing County Board Chairman Michael Burke. Michael, how are you?
Very good, Ronan.
And all the best of the season to you and yours and your family, and I'm sure that they're looking forward to seeing a little bit more of Mr. Burke around the house.
Well, yeah, I suppose that comes normally with when you complete a term as an officership in a county. You know, I've been very busy over the last 6 years between vice chairman and chairman. It takes a huge time, it has a huge toll on the family life. They probably see the back of you going out the door often than they see you coming in.
And when you're vice chairman, you have to spend a lot of time, I suppose, CCC as well. Can I ask you which is the more difficult position to hold? Because I often have great sympathy for the CCC. Everybody knows, everyone has an opinion on how they should do it better, but then when it comes down to it, it's a very difficult position.
Well, I would probably answer that a different way, Ronan, that any man that's prepared to take on the role of CCC deserves to be chairman, to enjoy it afterwards. Not saying that the chairman's role is very easy. It's two different roles. You're dealing with divisions and you're dealing with fixtures and you're dealing with clubs at CCC. County chairman is dealing with most things.
Reading between the lines, the CCC is a tougher gig, is it?
It's a tough gig. Yeah. It's a tough gig and going to get tougher.
It is, but for reasons we'll come to in due course. Myself had a nice sit down after the All-Ireland when I came back to Thurles, and you described yourself as being lucky. And lots of county chairmen have been in your position and never welcomed Lee McCarthy back. So it's the obvious question is, what was the highlight of your 3 years? But when you see both the Irish Press Cup and the Lee McCarthy Cup coming back to Thurles in front of thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah, that's a unique experience, you know, and to be privileged to be chairman at that time is phenomenal. As you said, many have gone through, did a brilliant job as chairman and never had the luck of having that. I had the two in 1 year. Pat Kearney has the same thing in Galway this year. It's an unbelievable feeling to be chairman, to see that happening.
It is, it's mighty. Did it add a certain bit of sauce to the proceedings that, you know, your own clubman was the manager, that the fullback was another clubman, that there was such Upper Church representation adds to it?
Well, I suppose the following Saturday night we had a night in Upper Church, and that will be never equaled again, you know, because it was the first time three people in three different roles from the club being involved and delivering the big prize. It was a great feeling.
Yeah, people who've been there before you have had difficult or different tasks to resolve, and one of them was the finances, and I think we've come through that over the course of Sean Stewartship and then yours.
Yeah, you know, I suppose money in Tipperary and is no different to any other county. It takes a lot to run the county. We try to do things well. I think we treat hurling and football on a financial side on a very equal status now. You know, fortunately enough, we spent money. We did spend a lot of money over the last my term and in Sean's term.
But like everyone who is listening to this programme tonight and who texts into this programme, they want to see Tip successful in both codes, in everything. They want us to win everything we entered, and that's fine, that's the way it should be, and that's why we're Tipperary and that's why we're not Leitrim, for example. People have to understand that comes at a cost.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure when our books are tottered this year they'll be costly as well. But like, I suppose when I became chairman, I set out a plan that we would try and develop more of Morris Park and spend bigger money there. We haven't achieved that. We have done an awful lot of work in Morris Park, and we have done work. We're cooperating more now with Simple Stadium, and there's a vision there that both can be interlinked. We're going putting in a car park in Morris Park now, because on match day, even small club games in Thurles, there's huge chaos there with cars. We're trying to solve that. We've planning permission got. We're nearly ready to go there as well. And there's a few other projects that have started under my chairmanship that will be finished under John's, and I've no problem with that, and it will make the Prairie in a better place.
Any regrets?
No. If you do this job to have regrets, you know, it's a tricky one, but you're not. Okay, there's hard calls have to be made, and maybe some calls you should have made that you didn't make. you know, those are probably personal regrets that you'd have, but you have to live with that.
Yeah, okay. I suppose when you start off, you have a wish list of things you'd like to achieve. You're never going to get to a position where you can cross everything off that list.
No, no. Does anybody?
No.
No.
Speaking from experience, absolutely not.
No, but like, you know, I suppose I had the dream that we would win an All-Ireland under my stewardship. We got 2-1 year. Mm. But I suppose we should also mention, you know, the phenomenal success that our footballers are having.
Mm.
And the work that's going on there as well. And like
under 21 final, I think, in your first year.
Yes.
Which
yes.
shouldn't be forgotten, how hard it is to get to that.
That was probably one of the saddest nights.
It was, yeah.
Of my chairmanship, because everybody that was from Tipperary that was in Parnell Park that night wished so much, desired so much for Tip to win, and saw what happened us and the way we were treated.
And you think about Luck, well, Luck, Lady Luck was certainly wasn't in Parnell Park and wasn't wearing a blue and gold jersey that
no,
night.
No, no,
even
no.
Even all the tragedy at half time and everything that happened, it was just awful.
It was really just a sad night. But like, there was great other great things. Mm. You know, I suppose one other highlight was the trip to Antrim last year to honour Father Alex Reid. Yeah. That will stand out as a unique moment.
You're a hurling man. Would you describe yourself as that way, or would you describe yourself as a GA man?
A GA man.
Well, it's interesting that I often people make that differential. But I think you've got to give great credit to people up in the Glens and Antrim who keep the game of hurling going. And if we can help them, and if Cork can help them, Limerick can help them, if Kilkenny can help them in any way, we should.
We should. We should, yes. And we have developed a friendship now with the Antrim County Board officers. And I hope that we will contribute. Like, to go up there on the Saturday and see our players going out coaching the kids up in Antrim was just believable. And the way they turned out on the Sunday, meeting the people that were involved with Father Alex Reid on the Saturday night. You know, we're in the monastery for Mass that Sunday morning. And I've met some of those since, and they consider us friends now.
You got to remember, and you and I are old enough to remember what the North was like during Troubles, during Drumcree and all the rest. It wasn't an easy place to drive around with Hurleys in the boot of the car.
Yeah.
So they deserve our support, I think, We've got to talk about fixtures. And before I do, I'm going to play a piece of audio because Michael Ryan, Tip manager, obviously, was speaking to Stephen Gleeson during the week, and he was asked about structures and his reaction to it. And this is Michael Ryan speaking after the county board meeting last Thursday night, more of which we'll be speaking with Mike about in just a second.
Whatever, you know, whatever was voted on last night is you know, that's our structure for the next 12 months. My understanding is, you know, it's a 12-month only, you know, arrangement with a review next year, you know, and that's a sensible approach to take. Look, you know, I suppose the challenge is ours now. We know what the format is. I suppose right up to now, you know, there was all sorts of permeations and, you know, different motions being driven by, you know, coming in from different clubs and different divisions. We now have clarity, so at least we have a blueprint that we can work with, and that's our challenge now. But look, I suppose, yeah, you know, the big thing that we've to plan around is workload on our players. You know, our targets wouldn't have changed. We still need to get to the furthest point we possibly can in the National Hurling League. Like, that is a barometer. It's an early competition. We're in Division 1A. We know how competitive that is. We were in the league final last year. Obviously, that didn't go well for us at all. And that's something we want to turn about. It is a target of ours to do as well as we can in the National League. However, I suppose what we now know is that immediately after that, we are planning on 4 to 5 games, depending on which division you're in. I know they're knockout games, which is a help, to be honest, because at least, yeah, you know, it immediately reduces the burden on any, you know, if you're knocked out, you're out. It's, you know, it's a single chance.
But you still could have players in action every week.
The winners will keep playing, you know, so, you know, but look, it is the structure it is, and I've no issue with that whatsoever. You know, the clubs had their say. It was a democratic process, I think. To be fair, the last 2-3 weeks has really exercised everybody's minds here to come up with the best possible solution, and it was very democratic. That's my understanding of what happened in at the convention last night. So look, you know, what our challenge is, as I said, you know, managing workload, deciding how we're going to, you know, approach the league. When are we going to get our work done? You know, the league in its normal format would start 3 weeks later. So that's the first challenge. We certainly have a quota of work that we need to get done. And we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to get that done? And when are we going to get that done? And look, we just have to play it by ear.
That's Michael Ryan speaking to Stephen Gleeson last Thursday night. He said the word democratic a number of times there, Michael. He was being diplomatic, though, because I think of reading between what he says, he wouldn't be in the structure he would have chosen.
No. Michael has a job to manage the Tipperary senior hurling team, and he wants what's best for them.
Yes.
The clubs wants best for what their players. But I think after the other night's county board meeting, we have a process, and we have a structure for a championship.
And we have certainty.
We have certainty for everybody.
Which is what the club player wants.
Yes.
And I think that most people would say that the 95% or the 3 or 4% inter-county shouldn't be the tail wagging the 95% club player dog.
No, but I suppose, you know, if we all put on our county hat, take off our club hat, we want Tipperary to win.
That's what we get here on the text midsummer, is people apoplectic about Tip's performances. Yeah.
And like, if there's a terrible performance in the first and second round of the Munster Championship next year, I have no doubt that people will be calling for management's heads.
And they'll be looking at, I'm going to have to keep repeating all during next year that this is what the clubs voted for.
And before the vote was taken on the decision last Thursday night, I asked one specific question. I asked the clubs, were they sure of what they were voting for? I didn't mind which motion they voted for, but to be clear and sure on what they were voting for, and when they voted, that they knew the consequences, be it what they may, of voting, because the CCC now have a job to deal with those motions and the motion that won and put a fixture structure around it.
Let's drip it down a little bit. We've been trying to reduce our senior clubs for a number of years, from 32 down. I don't know what the ultimate target was. We're going to start dialing that back up again now, are we?
Well, the view is that we should have 3 16s in Tipperary in the county championship. 16 to Danbreen, 16 to Seamus Rean, 16 to Intermediate.
So it's going to be senior 1, senior 2 and intermediate.
We are at that stage nearly, or we will be at that stage. But, you know, the link will still continue as of the other night. And so be it, it has to.
Well, when you say link, you're talking about divisional, right? So let's just talk about that, because you're going to have a knockout series of games in April.
Yes.
The North is going to take a lot longer to finish than the West. And the prize for winning the North is a place in the prize for winning the West is a place in the preliminary quarterfinal. How can the reward be equal when the effort isn't?
That's I suppose where we were trying to go, that the county championship was equal for everybody. You know, but that's unfortunate for the West where they are. But then you take that a step further, the West have a lot more intermediate teams than some other divisions.
I know, but like,
and you know, all clubs look at their own status as being equal.
So okay, I just, if you're talking about senior hurling though, like if you're Portrue,
yes,
and if you're at Erog and a Carty, you know, there's a bit of a difference in terms of what's required to win your North.
Oh, yes, or if you're Upper Church having to face some of the big mites in the mid as well, yes, or any other club, you know. But that's the way the cookie has crumbled now in the divisions.
People say, and have said to me, that if you remove the link, it diminishes or it dilutes the status of the divisional championship. I would argue that the South Senior Football Championship has yet to be played, and maybe that the fact that it's going to be played so late in the day has already diluted its status.
Yeah, definitely. And like, is that a county problem or is that a divisional problem?
Well, there's a lot of teams in the South, but it doesn't seem like the South football teams are particularly bothered about it. And in actual fact, a proposal came from commercials, a South football team, to break the link between divisions and county.
Well, it is broken football now as a result the other night.
So why then? If you talk about equality and you talk about parity and every club want parity of esteem, why then is there one rule for hurling and one rule for football? And please don't say that's what the clubs voted for.
No, but I'd say the hurling clubs got more emotive about the whole thing and they worked hard to ensure to hold on to what they wanted.
Are the football clubs more pragmatic?
Yes. Yes, because that motion that came to separate the football from the hurling came last year at the county convention as well, from a football club. Or to separate the football division from the county. That has come.
Well, maybe it irked football clubs in the past that the North had the Thomas McDonagh, who were essentially given a bye into a preliminary quarter final because they were the only team in the North. And that essentially made a mockery in the way that perhaps the West Championship in senior hurling will this year.
Yeah, and like, there's only one set group of people that can change that. That's the delegates at a county board meeting. And they spoke the other night clearly, 53... for the proposal. There was 35 in total against, and we can't change that.
So we're going to have the divisionals played off in April this coming year.
This coming year, yeah.
What impact does that have on Michael Ryan? Or maybe I'll ask a different question first. The new league structure.
Yeah, and like last Saturday week, there was a Central Council meeting which decided, where everybody thought there was going to be no quarterfinals in the league, that there's now quarterfinals.
That doesn't make sense to me, because you're shoehorning in another game unnecessarily.
Unnecessary, yes.
And arguably one of those quarterfinals, or maybe two of them, is going to be a mismatch between the lower ranked of the 1B teams.
That's it, yeah. But it's still a game at a weekend for players who might need a week's rest. And like, you know, but Ronan, the point has to be made as well. There's 10, consider 10 top hurling counties in the country now. There's 5 in the Munster Championship and 5 in Leinster.
Yeah.
There was only one county having a debate on their structures out of those 10. That was Tipperary.
Well, maybe the other 10, in fairness, and I'm not being devil's advocate, but in Kilkenny, they don't have as many senior hurling teams as we do.
No.
Limerick have a two-tier. Or
two sixes.
Two sixes, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have fixed their problem before now, and therefore the new structure, the new inter-county structure, didn't as adversely affect their club structure as it does in Tip.
But we're the last 6 or 8 years trying to change the structures, and we're making progress at a slow rate. But so, we're making progress.
So there's no relegation from senior hurling this year?
No.
And there's promotion from intermediate, presumably?
Yes.
Into Seamus O'Regan?
Yeah.
And how many come up?
One now, don't hold me on that now.
No, okay. So we're going back up to try and get to 3 16s.
Yes.
Okay. So the Seamus O'Regan has to be increased.
Has to be increased.
Okay. There's no county championship going to be played in April, is that right?
Well, I would imagine there'll be one round played. There has to be one round played in April. So, like, it's got to be tricky.
So let's just look at the North, where you've 13, I think, the senior teams. So you've got at least four games to get to a final.
Yeah.
Do you want the North Championship finished by the end of April?
Well, that's up to the CCC to determine that finishing date.
Okay.
And now, you know, there is a problem with the 1st of April, and hopefully it is a problem we'll have, that if our footballers qualify for the National League final, that's on the weekend of the 1st of April. So that could rule out club games being played that weekend in April.
Mike Ryan made the point to me last Monday night that don't underestimate how important the league is from a financial point of view. I mean, Tip people want to win everything, but I don't want us to go in and sacrifice the league. I'm not going to pay money to go to watch league matches if I don't think the Tip want to win it.
We always want to win the league. That income, and from a financial point of view, is vital to us. I think we got something near 180,000 out of the league this year.
That's worth more than the All-Ireland final?
Oh, it's way more. It's, yeah. You know, it's money, and like it's in the latter stages, in the last 3 games, you really clock up your money.
Are you asking the impossible, though? That if you're... Let's just, for argument's sake, look at Loughmore Castleloney. You could have 2 or maybe 3 McGraths involved in Tip senior hurling management or hurling team next year, playing league matches, need some rest. I don't know what their college commitments are. I'm going to leave them aside for a moment, because that's another elephant in the room that I don't think we'll get time to talk about. They'll come into April, mid senior hurling championship. Presumably you're going to get some mid senior hurling, senior football championship played as well, will you?
I doubt it now.
Right.
It'll be, you know, because I can't see it happening.
So when will you play any county football championship in April?
That was on the proposal the other night, one round of county football as well.
Right.
So look at while the proposal is there and the amount of rounds of games that are there, it's down to the county CCC to fix and decide which way they'll go with them. And I think we have to be fair and trust them. CCC will have 6 or 7 new members this year.
What I'd hate to see happen is us to become a new Waterford. And I'll tell you why. Because the Waterford senior football final was played on Sunday.
Yes.
I think Waterford were one of the first football counties to go out of the senior county football championship this year. And they can't finish their football championship in time.
No, and like, I don't think that will happen in Tipperary. It has never happened.
Well, in fairness...
Only once.
Yeah,
once.
There was 1 year we didn't have a nominee.
In for the intermediate.
Well, no, there was 1 year we didn't have a nominee for senior football championship. Yeah. And it was it was the year of the replay.
Yeah.
The bubbles replay, as it'll always be known. We didn't have a senior football representative that year.
But like we had one year in the intermediate as well.
And I felt very, very sorry for Moyne Templeton that year.
Yeah.
I have a break to take. We've lots more to talk about, but when we come back, please stay with us. Our text number is 083-311-3311. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
With John Kennedy Motors Clonmel, the home of Toyota Hybrid in Tipperary. With incredible fuel economy and great finance offers, we are making the change even easier. Visit johnkennedymotors.ie. Toyota, built for a better world.
Oh, you're very welcome back. 083 311 3311 is our text number. At Tip FM Sport is our Twitter handle. I'm speaking to the outgoing County Board Chairman, Michael Burke. Michael, before we get back to structures and everything, Clonalty have been on via text message. Not the club officially, but just some comments coming from the West Tipperary in relation to Clonalty having to play two matches over the weekend in under 21. I can understand that their disappointment. Choosing my words carefully. I can understand their annoyance and their disappointment at that. But I don't think that's a county CCC problem. That's a divisional problem, isn't it?
Basically, that's a divisional problem that should have been played in the West and sorted out in the West and been ready. The dates were known for a long time when those games were on, and they were actually moved back a small bit to facilitate more. But I don't know what happened.
You're looking for perhaps the Munster Council to move some dates back. So lots of people come to you looking for dates to be moved back as well.
Yeah, well, as I said at the county board meeting the other night, the days of clubs looking for alternative dates for games and moving fixtures now is well and truly over. You know, Ronan, same as I do, the shop window that's there now for playing games, the amount of rounds we have to play, and you know, we just have to move on.
When the county championship gets up and running in earnest, it's the same format as last year.
Yes.
Groups of four and top two come out. And then you'll be into Seamus O'Regan relegation versus
it'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting.
Well, there's an awful lot to play.
There's great games to be played. Great games.
And we look forward to that draw. Hopefully we'll be doing it here ourselves.
I'd imagine so, yeah.
One thing strikes me, and I don't know if you'd agree with this, that the wiggle room is gone. There is that, like, if Hurricane Ophelia makes a return to our shores and you lose a weekend, or worse case scenario, you lose two weekends, you're banjaxed.
Oh, show's over. And in particular with what happened at Munster Council last week as well, where they decided not to give us all of October to play club championship games, that they would start some of the Munster club championships in late October. Very disappointed, because all the county board officers were taken to Munster to attend the meeting, and the message was very clear on that particular night. We wanted October for club championships and start the Munster club in November, and this was not. And Cork, Waterford, Tipperary and Kerry looked for that the other night and didn't get it.
You know, I remember the town of Clonmel flooding in August because of such torrential rain we've had. We have unpredictable weather in this country.
Oh yeah.
I'm just interested that you use the words "shows over" for in terms of what happens if you get a bad 10 days of weather where you have no pitch open to you around the county.
It's unbelievable. And also, like, you have a tragedy, a funeral, you know, a game could have to go. And the point was made the other night that if a game goes on a Sunday, which will be played on Monday, and that's the way. But the weather is the real unpredictable one for us in this country. We all have experienced different things at different times. I was in Templederry yesterday at the under-21B final, and the pitch was like the middle of summer. It was in unbelievable condition. That could change.
That could change in 48 hours.
Yes.
But as you well know. But So once we get into the round robin in Munster, and again, just talk us through that, because I know Tim Floyd spoke eloquently, as he always does, and passionately at the Board of Congress on that. And he a lot of hurling counties, in fact, the majority of hurling counties, were opposed to that structure.
They were, but you see, you're talking about 32 counties and the overseas factors. Tipperary had a motion opposed to that at the special Congress in September. Number one, we felt that the football proposals should have been left for 1 year to work before you start changing the hurling, not to jump the whole lot in together. We put our own proposal together. A huge amount of time went into getting the Tipperary proposal together, in particular led by Tim as well, and putting stuff down, and he got help.
I think that's a fair point. What would have been interesting is if you left the football as was, it would be interesting what would have happened to the club championship in the Super 8 counties.
Yes.
Whether that got completely banjaxed.
And it could have been monitored. But like, we were the only five. We had five delegates at that Congress, and for good luck, the five delegates showed unity. They voted together. We were the only five that voted for our motion. Nobody else was in favour of it. So you had a sense, I suppose, of the football counties dictating what was happening in the hurling, because they were in the majority.
But we took a position, in fairness, we took a position at county board level in relation to the Super 8s, which was opposed by the players and the Tip senior football management.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could say that Tipperary as a hurling county voted for something that the footballers in Tipperary didn't want.
Didn't want, but at least at county board level, it was a democratic vote at county board level, and that's where the final decision is made in Tipperary always, at county board level.
Okay. We are where we are, and the hurling proposals in the Munster Championship was a knee-jerk reaction to the football changes?
Well, I'd say it was just felt that the window for the football was got bigger. If we don't do something to increase the window for the hurling, you know, we lose ground.
Do we though?
I don't think so.
Like hurling people, I swore I'd never use that phrase.
Yeah, Tipperary, you just know.
Tipperary people will go to watch Tipperary hurling, no matter what.
Yeah, but you know, people are going to watch the football now as well.
Yeah, I know. My point was that would the cachet of Munster Championship be diluted because there was so much football on the telly? I don't think so.
You've got
to remember that in 1987, that replay in Killarney wasn't even on telly.
Yeah, and there has been games since that haven't been on telly, only delayed coverage.
Behind the paywall as well.
Yeah, but like Tipperary people will always follow the hurling team. Yeah. Will always. Yeah. But like, is that cash available there now to go 4 weeks in a row if you're a family man with a wife and a couple of kids and you can't say, well, I want to leave the kids at home this week. We all want to go. So that's a huge cost. Now, I understand that Munster Council are going to bring out a package to help people with the games.
I know, but then you've got the Walsh Park factor as well. Like
that'll help as well.
That nobody would be able to get a ticket for it.
Yeah.
But it's not fit for purpose.
No.
And we've our fine facility in Thurles. Limerick have a decent facility. The Mackey Stand has its issues, but it's a decent facility. Cork is Cork, you know. Ennis is improved, but it's still small.
Yeah. Ennis is nice, you know.
It's fine. Well, it's palatial compared to Walsh Park.
Well, you know, if the first round of results are good, close and tight games, the next games will generate more interest. And an awful lot hinges on the first day. But then I suppose look at it from the other side, Ronan. You have Galway Kilkenny travelling to Pearse Stadium. What won't that do for hurling in Galway to have Kilkenny coming up to play Galway in Pearse Stadium? Kilkenny travelling up to play the All-Ireland Champions in a stadium that hasn't seen a hurling championship game for years.
I know, but that wasn't Galway's fault. Galway were beguarded by the Leinster Council in that regard.
But at least they have achieved it now.
Yeah, but did we have to change the Munster Championship to facilitate them?
No.
I know. Oh, look, from a player's point of view, I'm thinking of the club player, right? There's a lot of love out there for the new structures and the new championships. There's a lot of people who are happy with this. And like, they're going to be the same players who will expect Tipperary to be at the business end of both the league and the championship.
Oh yeah, and like we had a forum a couple of years ago in LIT in Thurles, and the key message from players that night was give us certainty about games. All players now have families or, you know, partners that they want to do different things within the summer. Well, they have that now for a couple of months. May, June and July is going to be free months to some extent for players. But I suppose a club that will have their eye on finishing up into Dan Breen won't be taking May, June or July off. And it gives us an opportunity in Tipperary to play leagues as well. We haven't. This year was probably the best year of clubs participating in leagues. We haven't really bought into that concept. But now is the time to buy into it and get these leagues going during the summer and have organised games.
But should the reward for the leagues be better? I think you win a few bob if you win the leagues, don't you?
Yeah, no.
No, okay, all right.
We ran out of money for that a few years ago.
All right, okay. Well, that's an honest answer. But do you have to incentivise clubs, do you?
No, like the leagues were very good this year. There was huge participation in the leagues. And I think if the divisional championship is coming to a closing stages and you're going to run the leagues for a couple of months, well, you have an opportunity then to train and play.
You had somebody from Kerry come and talk about divisional structures.
Yeah.
That got no traction.
I wasn't because of a family bereavement. Yeah, okay, I was away that night, so I wasn't at it.
Okay, but it didn't get traction.
No.
I know you weren't there for the presentation, but did you see any merit in it?
Well, look, we all know how the Kerry structure has worked, and Kerry divisional championships are booming. They'll have games right up to Christmas, and they'll have huge crowds at them.
Yeah, okay. But from a club player's point of view, Let me ask it another way. This new structure puts unique challenges on Michael and his backroom team, in particular Gary Ryan, when it comes to strength and conditioning and all that's required there.
Yeah, I suppose it's a whole new different aspect. Like before, take even a Munster Championship first round and you win it, you probably had 3 weeks to the next game, so you had a week just to recover, a week to do training, and then a week to prepare. Now it's you to play. You recover, you play. Now, from the interviews of the players, they seem to prefer this.
Maybe so, but I was in Thurles last Monday night and I was talking to CJ Stander. You wouldn't ask him as a professional rugby player to do that.
No.
Like, if you look at this, at the series of games, including quarterfinal, semi-final and final of the league, and then the four...
Eight games in the league.
Plus a guaranteed four games in the Munster Championship.
That's 12. And maybe for some players, four club games in between.
Yeah, so player welfare is where I'm going with this question.
Yeah, well,
the burden of responsibility is on Mick to look after them to a certain extent when they're with him. The burden of responsibility is on the upper church or Thurles Sarsfield's manager when he's with them. But everyone, it's a results based business.
It's a result based business. I suppose to looking after the, say, the county players, they're in the best of shape. They will be in the best of hands. I have no doubt with the people that we have in charge of our county teams will have them right. Injuries are going to be a problem, because if you get injured the first day, does that rule you out for the rest of the championship, because it's all happening in 4 weeks? So will players be as prone to injury? Will they be in it? You know, conditioning, I'm no expert on it, but the conditioning and getting players ready would probably have to change and adjust as well. And I have no doubt that Gary is well aware of that.
Yeah, it's just like one flat performance and everyone's going to throw
the kitchen sink at you.
And baby out with bathwater. Everything's going to, people are going to be demanding change. When, how long is this going to get to bed in?
You know, well, 2020.
Okay.
And we've often heard of the 2021 being the unique one, but look, it has to be tried. Now, in fairness to Killinall, had a motion in the other night at the county committee meeting that there would be a review next year at the end of the year, because normally when the structures come in for 3 years, so the Killinall motion was accepted that there would be a review. So it does give us an opportunity to look at it next year.
I'm a traditionalist. I kind of like the Munster Championship the way it was. I like the first Sunday in September.
Yeah, and so does everybody.
Am I a dinosaur?
No, and I think there's a huge amount of people. You even take, you're back in August now, peak holiday season. Yeah. People that have a habit of going to an All-Ireland, irrespective of who's in it, they won't get a bedroom in a hotel.
I was going to say, best of luck. It's hard enough to get a bedroom on a Tuesday night in November in Dublin, let alone.
Yeah, but like, August. You know, the whole scenario has just changed now. But look at, maybe there'll be more club games shown on television. You know, the club player might get more exposure. And there has been some very good provincial club championship games on television over the last number of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree with you there. As you look with your crystal ball into the coming 12 to 24 months, from a Tipperary senior and senior football and hurling, I'm very much of the opinion the glass is half full.
Firstly, I would say we have two brilliant management teams, two brilliant managers. Their backroom team, and we have been talking to both of them about it, their backroom teams are superb. They will get the best out of our players. They will know what's best for our players. And, you know, but isn't the glass half full for every county at the moment? Because we're all facing into the unknown.
Yeah, it is, I suppose. You lose your first round of the Munster Championship, though, and the glass suddenly gets inverted.
It becomes squeaky bum bum time.
It does,
in.
Absolutely. And going to Limerick is not...
Not easy.
The draw in football, I think, is somewhat favourable. You know, Waterford first round, and then possibly... Cork at home.
And hopefully Kerry in a Munster final and Thurles.
That'd be mighty.
Mighty, yeah. And you know, Liam Kearns will have a great bunch of players. And they'll have great experience in Division 2 of the league. They'll be playing higher standard teams, and that's where we need to be.
Were you surprised by the round robin for the under 17 championship? I'm struggling to call that minor, but anyway, minor stroke under 17.
Was I surprised? No.
It flagged to you? Because it came out of the blue for me.
Yeah, it was flagged to us at executive level that there was a proposal for that. And look, it just gives the under-17s a shop window now as well, that they're playing actually the same day as the county senior hurlers. Of course, they had nothing else for a double bill on the day, because there was no intermediate, there was no one buying into the under... We hadn't bought into the under-25. So they had to put the round robin. Now we have the minor footballers looking for a round robin as well, some counties. And that would be more difficult, because that cannot tie in with the Munster Football Championship.
Okay. I'm just going back to the Clonalty issue for a moment, because somebody's a number of texts coming in on this and people really asking me to put it to you. Essentially, this person suggesting that the fact it was delayed was because a club who wasn't involved in the final appealed a match being taken off them, and it was the delay was at the county disputes resolution table rather than the West CCC.
No, look, at we're not going to get into technicalities. Okay. There was time to have the game played, and it should have been played.
Okay, but you can see how Clonalty would be upset.
Yeah, and Tommy Barrow had the same scenario last year.
Okay, but that doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it right. I prefer to see games playing once a week.
Sometimes, though, you get clubs, throwing out of competitions or making appeals on somewhat spurious grounds. I do remember one club not a million miles away appealing because they didn't get notification in Irish. People need to cop on a bit when it comes to appealing these things, don't they?
Well, I think when I spoke the other night at the county board meeting, I saw lots of heads nodding around the room. Yes, they knew what they were buying themselves into. There's no room for appeals, there's no room for looking for movement of fixtures, because it's not there now. It's just a very, very tight window. And as you say, if we get a storm or a week's bad weather in April, yeah. And look at, even to take the risk of April weather, it's huge.
Yeah.
You know, we're in trouble.
The point was made to me, and I'm going to finish on this, the point was made to me about the number of urban teams winning championships, but there was a game played in Mallow yesterday. I know Ballybacon came out the wrong side of it, and commiserations to them. Small club Ballybacon, rural club, playing a small rural club from Ardmore in Waterford. I mean, if ever there was, yes, and you'd ex-Waterford players, ex-Tipperary players playing in that, Brendan Cummins, the two Prendergasts, the essence of it. Like the carrot of playing in Croke Park at the end of it for one of them.
Oh, unbelievable. And like, you know, those Munster Championship games are a thrill for the clubs that get to them, and particularly for the clubs that win them, and commiserations to Ballybacon yesterday. But they had a great year. They had a great year.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, many congratulations on your 3 years. It's been busy, and I know you're going to probably appear in the studio under a different guise with a different hat on in coming years. I don't know if I'll be here, but somebody will be here anyway to turn the microphone on for you. I wish you well. And
thanks
I wish
very
you
much, Ronan.
A very happy Christmas to you.
And the same to you and all our Tip FM listeners. Okay.
And many thanks for coming in to us. I appreciate it.
No, but a run.
Thanks indeed. That's Michael Burke who joins us there, and our text number again is 083-311-3311. And I'm going to go to my next guest in studio, Jamie O'Flaherty, who joins me. How are you, Jamie?
I'm good, Ronan. Thanks.
Lots to talk about, but before I do, I want to play a piece of audio because I caught up with Jonathan Dunhu after the game in Clonmel yesterday, just to give his reflection on Clonmel Town's win over RD Celtic in the FAI Junior Cup. This was Jonathan Dunhu speaking to me at the final whistle.
Jonathan Dunhu, manager of Clonmel Town. Jonathan, you don't always get what you deserve in sport, but I absolutely think you deserve that win today.
Aye, look, the lads left everything on the field. Young group coming together game by game, and they just emptied the tank out there from 1 to 16. Five subs made a big difference as well, so fantastic performance.
Yeah, you were looking not to perhaps win it in normal time. Penalty save inside 4 minutes. They had chances too.
Yeah, look, we had a couple of chances, and another day we could have scored, but then they will think the same thing as well. Like, but look, clean sheet in a cup game and you always have a chance there.
Yeah, and in fairness, the two McGraths offered something when you brought them on from the bench.
Look, we spoke about that at half time, that we had the ammunition on the bench, so with 20-25 to go, we knew we could make changes, and that quality coming in obviously won the game for us.
And the right decisions were made for the goal. I mean, you put three lovely passes together and you're in on goal, and Keith does the business for you. Yeah. It doesn't always work that way.
No, in fairness to Aidan didn't panic. A lot of lads would have panicked there. He got the head up and just slipped the pass. And Keith, on his wrong leg, he sticks it.
Well, you're going to be in the draw and you're going to be in the FAI after Christmas.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Like, it drives the whole season forward. Momentum is huge and it carries us into the new year, so Monster next week, so another big one to go next week.
Hearty congratulations.
Thanks very much, Ron.
That's Jonathan Dunhu speaking to me after the game in the Dr. Pat O'Callaghan complex yesterday. Jamie, how important a win was that for Clonmel Town, because it keeps them in the FAI right up, well, after Christmas?
It's a huge win, hugely important win. We've said it for the past few weeks now that it's cup football for Clonmel Town from now on. That's their best chance of silverware. And it's a huge win because you want to be in the major cups at Christmas time. That's your goal at the start of the season. And that was a fantastic win. And I think, you know, I spoke to Paddy Turner yesterday, Clonmel Town supporter.
Stalwart. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. And for him to say to me that it reminded him of a Clonmel Town performance of old, I think that's the biggest compliment Paddy could give them, because, you know, I know how much he admires teams gone by from Clonmel Town. And for him to say that just shows just how good a performance it was. It was a real battling performance. It had gritted determination, organisation, and everything that you'd want to see in a cup game.
Well, interesting you were talking to Paddy Turner. I was standing beside Baba Kiley, another man who you could say used the word stalwart with when it comes to Clonmel Town. And he repeatedly used the term honest about the team and their performance. And you've been in the dugout. You've stood where Jonathan and Chris stand. And that's all you can ever ask for, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. Look, I've said it so many times. If you have an honest group, a well-organised group, a group that are prepared to train and that are fit, it's 90% of it, particularly at junior level. And I think Jonathan has achieved that. He's really settled this group down. I think that was the 11th match unbeaten now for Clonmel Town, 11 matches in a row. So the team has settled. You look at the two McGrath brothers, Aidan and David, coming back into things as well. And it's really looking positive now. And
it's a luxury to be able to start with them on the bench, because then you can change things. And it's not just bringing on like for like, because if you take off your striker and bring on the two McGraths, you have utterly changed your structure.
Absolutely, two quality players. And, you know, only for Mile Rovers had such a long campaign, I think that the two McGraths would have been back sooner and would have been involved sooner. They're players that are worthy of, you know, a jersey in the 1-11, you know, they're that good. And
I think,
but as you said,
one of them is involved in inter-county as well, so yeah, extra pressure on him.
Absolutely, yeah. So to be able to introduce those two from the bench was really the turning point for Clonmel Town. And with David's work rate and Goyle up top, Aidan, very, very clever player just playing off him, it definitely swung the game in Clonmel Town's favour.
Yeah, well done to them. They go into the last 32 now. And I suppose when you looked at it before kickoff yesterday, they have a big game against Peak next week in the Munster Junior. And you thought, God, this season could be over in the next 7 days if things go badly wrong.
Absolutely. And that's just how the fine margins, isn't it? I mean, Clonmel Town will now go into next Sunday knowing they're in the FAI Junior Cup after Christmas. And they'll have a right go at Peakville. I was at the last game between these two in the complex. Absolutely nothing between the two sides. If anything, at 1-1 in the second half, I thought Peakville would be the team to go on and win it. They seemed to be getting on top. But it was Clonmel Town. It was actually Aidan McGrath who would come on to get the winner for Clonmel Town. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to next Sunday. It should be a real cracker.
Yeah, well, congratulations to Jonathan, Chris and all the team in Clonmel. That's a really good win. And incidentally, I don't want to start on the negative, but one of the supporters, well known to you and I, met me afterwards and said, you know, you really need to give more time to junior football on the show, and we do our best here, you know. But and one, I'd make the point back. This attendance was so disheartening yesterday at the Clonmel Town RD, and I'm not trying to be negative, but it is a fact that, you know, judging on attendances, what has happened or how are we going to resolve that? Because it was a nil all draw in 90 minutes, and I was thoroughly entertained for the 90 minutes, albeit a nil all draw.
Well, I think that's it. I think, you know, whenever a Clonmel Town team is successful, or a Clonmel team, in fact, I mean, Clonmel Celtic had it for a few seasons there where they did really well in the cup competitions. I think supporters do come back, but they need something to come back for, and they need something to cheer about, and they won't arrive up on a Sunday evening. With all due respect to some of the teams in the TSNDL, they won't turn up for those games. So
this is FAI Junior.
It is.
This is blue ribboned.
It is, but I think Clonmel Town needed to win it, needed to show, you know, people that, yeah, they are a serious team again. I think supporters will come back then, but I think it's more to do with, you know, other attractions to people as opposed to what junior football is about. I think, well, people have a lot more to do under Sundays these times.
They might maybe do, but some people are at home watching Bournemouth against Southampton. Now, I didn't see that match, but I can tell you the Clonmel Town RD match was better.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Okay, I'm preaching to the converted, I can tell. Clonmel Celtic had an easier time of it. They didn't need extra time. Corktown Hibs made the journey up from Cork, and Brian Waters, Ian Cleary and Sean O'Hara on the score sheet.
Yeah, good win, comfortable win for Clonmel Celtic. They'll be delighted with that. You know, it's another Tipperary team through to the last 32. And you know, Clonmel Celtic at home, they're a match for anybody. I mean, you wouldn't write them off, no matter who they drew in the next round. So a really good win for them. Delighted for Ian Cleary because he's had a tough spell with injury. Good to see him in the score sheet. I believe Evan Maguire came off at half time.
Injured,
so hopefully he's okay, because Celtic play St Michael's next Sunday in the Munster Junior Cup. That's to tie it around, and they'll certainly want Devon back for that one.
Yeah, Ian Cleary is a player, I don't think he's ever let anyone down. He always puts in a shift, doesn't he?
Absolutely. You know, he's a quality player, very experienced now. And you know, he plays in that role, he finds spaces in between the lines, he's very difficult to mark, very, very clever player. And as I said, it's good to see him back, because he struggled a little bit of injury at the start of the season, and he'll need a few games, but I think he'll be key to Celtic next Sunday.
One texter wants me to ask you whether or not the new structure of the GAA format might be the death knell for junior soccer in small villages. Well, with that in mind, Galway United from the TSDL go into the last 32 of the FAI Junior Cup. Fair play to them.
I'm absolutely thrilled, because I spent all of last year, and it was said to me how, you know, every week I was saying Galway are certain to go down and Galway will go down. It was week after week. So I'm absolutely thrilled to have something positive to say, because they're a really good club. And that was a tremendous win. I mean, absolutely tremendous win. You know, Ger Quinlan came on, got a goal. And, you know, it's just really positive. It's a great story. Galway, who, you know, they're not a team to give walkovers, even when things were going bad from last season. They turned up every week, and all credit to them. It was a super win. I'm absolutely thrilled for them.
And it means a lot to them. It might financially put them under the kibosh if they get a long away draw, which puts financial pressure on a small club, but they'll enjoy that headache.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, listen, they're a good club. They're around a long time. And you know, they've had their difficulties. They've been up and down from the First Division to the Premier League. But I'll tell you one thing, you're drawn away to Galbally when they have a full complement of players. It's a tough place to go, and they make it very difficult for you. And, you know, let's hope to get a home draw again in the next round.
Absolutely. St. Michael's put six past New Ross, the once mighty New Ross. I don't know whether New Ross have fallen dramatically over the years or whether St. Michael's are just that much better than everyone else. I'd say it's probably a little bit from column A and a little bit from column B.
I would think so, yeah. When you look at New Ross, they requested an 11 o'clock kickoff in Tipperary. I mean, straight away you have to look at that and think, what's the preparation going to be like? I thought St. Michael's would bounce back. You know, they did play well against BT Harps last week. They should have been much further ahead at halftime than they were in that game, and you know, it became difficult for them in the second half and went to extra time. But I had a feeling they'd bounce back. I'm sure the message all week from James Walsh was, listen, we start well again, we have to take our opportunities in the first half, and they did that, and the game was pretty much done and dusted at half time. I believe there was a bit of a bust up in the New Ross dressing room at half time. A few players left, I believe. They made four changes at half time. That didn't help them, but at that stage St. Michael's were clear winners.
New Ross, the new Swansea City by the sounds of it. But anyway, we must talk about Nina Celtic as well, because that's a big, big result for them. They went over to Galway, I think, to play...
Mayo.
Sorry, I knew it was somewhere in the West Seaboard. I always say Nainta. And they won 1-0. Big win for them, because any time you get a win.
Absolutely, and... you know, it's amazing, North Tip, the standard North Tip at the minute, because we just mentioned BT Harps there and how well they did against St. Michael's last week. We've Thurles Town going really well. And Nina Celtic, you know, came to bench in Munster. They won comfortably there. And this is a fantastic win, again, away from home. I often speak about how difficult they are to play in Nina, because the pitch isn't the best. It's pretty tight. They make it very difficult for you up there. So for them to go away from home and get a 1-0 victory is a huge win. Mark Walsh, a big player for them, really, really good in the air, and he scored a header after, I think it was about 30 minutes or so in that one. And Celtic, it wasn't as if they were hanging on. If anything, they were the team that was going to get the next goal, and it was pretty comfortable for them, really, more comfortable than the 1-0 scoreline tells us.
The draw on Friday will be interesting, because we'll have five Tipperary teams involved. There's a lot of quality still left in this competition, though. I know Janesburg are gone, I know Sheriff are gone, but there is a lot of competition there.
Well, there is. I think there's a top pool of teams. I think St. Michael's would be in that. North End United from Wexford, Usher Celtic, probably include Pike Rovers, Killarney Celtic, Evergreen from Kilkenny. So I think they're the top pool, and I think in the next pool you would have Clonmel Town, Clonmel Celtic, Nina Celtic. So you want to avoid one of the teams in that top pool, obviously. But I think there's probably 24 teams there. 25 teams that you'd pick, and you'd fancy your chances if you get a home draw against them.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay where you are, because I'm going to come back to you before we go off air this evening. But I'm just going to go to the phone line for a second, because I'm joined on the line by Paddy Maher. How are you, Paddy?
How's it going on? You well?
I'm very well, and we haven't spoken to you since you were named captain for the forthcoming season. Congratulations on that. New challenges. Your thoughts, I suppose, heading into the new season, because it's going to be a season like no other.
Yeah, really looking forward to it, Ron. I think, you know, we're back training there as a group since Saturday there, so I'm really looking forward to it now. And as you said there yourself, it's going to be a really unusual year in a way, because the way the league is now and the new championship. So it's going to be all new, but it's just going to be the same for every county. So look, we're going to try and get ourselves in the best possible shape for the first round of the league, and we'll work from there.
You know, I was just talking to Michael Burke on air, and we were talking about player management. You know, you could have 8 games in the league and they're all, you know exactly how intense they are. Then you go into a club season, and then you're into at least 4 weekends in a row in the Munster Championship. You could end up playing I don't know how many games in a short space of time. How will Paddy Maher feel if he gets told, you know, we're going to start you on the bench this week?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to lie. You want to play every game, you know, and that's the way I've always been, and that's the way I presume a lot of lads are as well. But look, the manager, that's up to the manager. It's up to Mick and the management team to try and manage it as best they can. I've no doubt they'll probably use the league to blood a lot of new lads as well. But at the same time, you still want to come out of the league with a with some sort of a team in mind, if you know what I mean. But at the end of the day, you need to blood more players, because the way this new championship is now, you're going to need more than 20 players. You're going to need up to bones 25 players, because you're going to pick up injuries and you don't know, suspensions, anything could happen. So it's vital that you do have a really strong panel. But look, we all want to play every game, but I don't think that's going to be physically possible either.
Do you view the new championship positively, because it gives you more games in the Munster Championship?
Yeah, look, I actually don't know, to be honest with you, what way it's going to go. But at the end of the day, like, we're going to be playing four weekends in a row, and there are going to be four big massive championship matches. And luckily enough, we get to play two of them at home and then two away. So it's going to be very different. But look, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be tough going, but we want to be heading into the fifth weekend when we have our bye, that we are not relying on anybody else to do us a favour, that we've the work done ourselves, and we can sit back and relax and let them fight it out themselves at the end of the last week, you know.
I remember Michael Ryan speaking ahead, I think, of the Westmeath game last year, when he kind of described it as being in a hurling purgatory. That long wait after you lose to Cork, when you're hanging around trying to train, trying to get motivated, that's something that's gone. And I'd say from a player's point of view, that's probably welcome. That if you do, God forbid, go out the first day against Limerick and things don't go your way, you can remedy that, rectify it within 7 days.
Yeah, you know, I suppose we've often done that through the league there in the last number of years where we haven't been going well. And then we managed to turn it around. I remember 2014, we were kind of struggling at times there. And then eventually we turned around coming to the end of the group stage, and we ended up getting back to the league final. So, you know, I suppose that's the benefit of playing week in, week out, that you can, you know, if you're going well, you have momentum. And if you're going poorly, then at least you know you've only 7 days away to turn it around. So, look, we'll be hoping that we'll be building momentum week after week and getting the results we want. But that's the one good thing, I suppose, that, you know, you lose to Cork and you have a 5 or 6 week gap, and you have to listen to a lot of critical analysis, I suppose, of what happened the week before, and you have to listen to that for bones of a month, whether now is you have a chance just to move on and concentrate the next day, because you can't afford to keep looking back, you know.
I know that the Tipperary dressing room is well accustomed to knowing what it feels like to win a match against Galway by a point, and they certainly know what it's like to lose a match to Galway by a point. How much of that comes into next year?
Yeah, well, look, obviously, look, they're a fantastic team, and they showed by when they learned last year, but it just goes to show the margins that they are to win in All-Ireland. You know, 2015, we were on the wrong side of it just about. Then 2016, we got the right side of it, and that just got us over the line, and then we ended up winning All-Ireland. So, again, a small thing last year. So, it's only marginal, like, you know, and that happens only once or twice a year, you know. So, I suppose you have to be ready for that every day you go out. And I suppose, especially in Munster, you know, talking to people at the weekend there, we were talking about the championship as well, and we were just saying that, you know, anybody can win Munster on a given day, you know. So I suppose hopefully we'll be hoping that it sets up for a good, strong year.
Okay.
Hopefully we want to get to Munster final and win that and go that route, you know.
It's the easiest route, no doubt. I know you're off to Singapore soon. I know Mick Ryan, I think, is managing that all-star team. You're going with 9 of your fellow tip men. You know, it's a long old flight. It's people talk about these you deserve everything you get, but just mind yourself, that's a tiring enough trip.
Yeah, you know, I think we're nearly going to be a day and a half travelling, and the same coming home, obviously. So, look, it's going to be fairly hectic when we get over there too. I think going by the itinerary, we have a lot of things planned for us with the local GA club and stuff over there. And then, of course, we had the exhibition match Saturday evening. So it's going to be fairly hectic. But look, we'll try and enjoy it as best we can and get home and get a bit of training, and then before Christmas again, you know.
Paddy, always good talking to you. On behalf of everyone involved in this station and this programme, I wish you the very best luck for 2018, and I look forward to speaking to you many times throughout the year.
Cheers, Ron. Thanks a million.
Take it easy. All the best. That's Paddy Maher joining us there. And we're almost out of time, Jamie. Before I do, one texter says, I hope you're going to mention the Clonmel Town support. I'd say it's the same lady I spoke to yesterday. But in fairness, they weren't there in large numbers, but they're vocal. And every other club is the same vocal cohort of minority.
Absolutely, you don't want to get those ladies on the wrong side of you either, particularly Clonmel Town.
I've been on that side. do you not remember?
So no, but they're fantastic, absolutely. You know who they are, they're there every single week, all weathers,